himself like he had already done the work. Somebody magnify the name of Jesus. We glorify you, oh God. Praise God. How many of you are thankful for the presence of God that you feel in this place tonight? God is doing incredible things around the city of Birmingham. How many of you right now, you're in the middle of a witness or a Bible study or something that God is doing? You know that God is opening the door. Praise God. I'm telling you, I've been hearing reports here in the last couple of weeks of incredible things that God is doing. And we just want to praise him for those who received the Holy Ghost this last Sunday and were baptized in the name of Jesus. Praise God. We have a number of people that have been coming up to the church during the week. Brother Sam taught a Bible study on, was it today? Yeah, Brother Sam taught a Bible study today from the outreach. We had a lady that was here tonight from their outreach ministry, and we're so thankful for all of the wonderful doors that God is opening up. Praise God. Thankful for what happened in Margaret last night. We had a number of guests in the house there, and great Bible study Brother Antoine taught for us, and just excited about all the wonderful things that God is doing. We're going to be in Song of Solomon chapter 5 tonight. Song of Solomon chapter 5. Praise God. Beginning in verse 1, when you have it, say amen. Praise God. Song of Solomon chapter 5 and verse 1. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved. My hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. I want to preach for just a few moments on this subject, divine hide and seek. Divine hide and seek. Why don't you put your Bible down? And let's lift up some praise to God. God, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. Come on, do it as loud as you can. God, we desire you tonight. In the inward parts, God, in the hidden parts, oh Lord. Touch this place, every home, every family, every life, oh God. Speak to our hearts, oh God. And we'll praise you for it, God. We magnify you. Come on, one more time. Why don't you clap your hands to him and praise him and shout to God with a voice of triumph. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of God. This book is an allegory for the relationship between God and Israel in the Old Testament, and we can extrapolate from that allegory that it is also an allegory for Christ in the church in the New Testament. There is much that can be taken from this story between the Shunammite woman and the king. The conversation is a back and forth conversation. And so even in the passage, the text that we read tonight, there is the conversation of the narrator. There is the conversation also of the king. And there is a discussion being had by the one who is being sought or pursued, which is the Shunammite woman in the text. She is being visited by her husband. He is the king. And she is the one being sought and the one being desired. And in this particular part of the text, She is being sought out at a time of the day when she does not expect to be sought out. He has been traveling on business. He is a traveling man, and he has returned home. This is the home that he built. This is the place that he erected. This is by his travel and by his exploration. He has gone out and he has acquired things that have allowed him to build a house for his bride, for his covenant one, for his people. Now he has returned home. He has come home at a time when she does not expect him. This is a house and a vineyard that he has built and planted. It is a prepared place. And this king in the story is a type of God. And this woman is a type of the people of God. It is a story of the love relationship that God has with humanity. And he is returning home. He is coming home for relationship. And he is coming to a place where he expects to find someone who is anticipating his return. And so he comes to the door, and he is a gentleman. So he knocks on the door. And this woman has been faithful to him from what we gather from the story. She is a person of process, probably someone of duty and of obligation. You can see in her explanation that she has done some things to prepare herself for the night. She has prepared herself to sleep and for rest. And so she has obviously been faithful to him in the process and in his absence. She has probably been handling the routine business of the house, all the things to maintain the house, to maintain the atmosphere of the house. She has probably done dishes, and she's probably handled the laundry, and she's probably taken care of, if they had them, kids. We can extrapolate many things from the story because these are not real people. These are allegorical in nature. They are intended to teach us some things. And so there's poetry here, and there's ebb and flow, and there's dynamic symmetry in the story. And so this woman is doing things to maintain the house. She had a process that she went through to get to this point in the story. It's very obvious from our exploration of the story that this woman is a logical person. She is a reasonable person. It's probably late in the night and she is asleep. She was not expecting company. It wasn't time for intimacy, for relationship, for conversation. Her response is logical. Somebody say logical. Her response is practical. It made sense. I have taken off my coat. How shall I put it back on? This is a logical way to think. I have prepared myself for my bed. I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them again? So she delayed. In this story, it's obvious that the woman needs reorientation. She needs a little bit of time to process the request. And so when she finally thinks about it and she reasons it all out in her mind, she arises at the last and goes to the door to open the door. And when she does, he's gone. He had a will. He had a purpose. He had a plan in returning home. There was for the king, for God, there was timing involved. There was a divine reason for knocking. And somehow in the exchange, the woman who is the church, who is Israel, missed the moment. In her delay, in her logic, in her reason, she did not rise quickly enough to get to the door to make a place for the king. Her process was too rigid. It was too strict. In that moment of delay, the purpose of heaven was postponed by the practicality of this woman. The purpose of heaven, the divine will of God, was haltered by prudence and by process. Her response was, "I am asleep." You can read this in several different translations. She says, "I am asleep, but something has stirred my heart." So she's in this moment where her eyes are closed and her body is shutting down. And she is sleeping, but something on the inside of her begins to come awake. And so we know that feeling. You know that feeling, that moment. Maybe you hear a sound in the night, or you something stirs you. Maybe a dream stirs you from unconscious sleep, and you begin to become aware. But before you are completely awake, your heart is moving within you. There's something stirring on the inside of you. And so she's in this state of existence where she can perceive that something has come into her world, and that she has been awakened from sleep, but her eyes aren't open yet. And so she is in that sweet place where she has been stirred, but she is not completely conscious yet, and her response is delayed. Now, I did not come to criticize this woman tonight. She isn't even a real person. But in the story, the process has become the product. The process of handling the house, the process of doing the business, of taking care of everything that the king has entrusted to her. And in his absence, all of the processes that maintain the house had been replaced by real, authentic relationship with the one who had made all of it possible. And if there's anything that is relevant to this dispensation and this point in human history, it is this conversation. We have been living for 2,000 plus years in his absence, and we've been handling the business of the house, and we've been taking care of practical things and building houses and lives and vineyards. And it can become the state of the church, that the church in our handling the business of God can be sleeping in the process when he comes knocking at the door of our hearts to stir us and prepare us for his return. I've come to preach to the church of the living God tonight. I feel a burden in my spirit. I'm just telling you, I have felt resistance all afternoon about what I'm preaching tonight. I feel the heartbeat of God coming to prepare the church. Get ready, because he's about to come again. I feel the heartbeat of God coming to shake the church, to tell you God is soon to return. I'm telling you that the Spirit of God is knocking on the door of the heart of everybody filled with God's Spirit, to tell you it's time to wake up out of sleep. It's time to open your eyes and be red hot alert, because your redemption is drawing nigh. I've come to preach to the church of the living God tonight and tell you that God is looking for a people that is ready for his return. God is looking for a people that is anticipating his return. God is looking for a church. Everything that defines the church of the living God is about following the Spirit of God. We are people of the Spirit. We have the Holy Ghost down on the inside of us. And there is a mind of the Spirit. There is a divine consciousness of God that God desires to flow in and out of his church, so that we know what he's thinking, so that our heart is beating with his heart. Like the disciple John, who laid his head on the chest of the Messiah. Messiah and could hear the heartbeat of God, who was willing to go some places that nobody else was willing to go. God is looking for a church in this last day that is filled up to the overflowing with the Spirit. I'm telling you, God is ready to pour out revival in this day in an unprecedented way. God is ready to put in the heart of his people the divine and sovereign will of God. God is ready to prepare somebody's heart to see miracles and signs and wonders. And I'm wondering tonight, is there anybody that can hear the Spirit of God knocking on the door of your heart? Is there anybody that says, I want to know what he wants me to know? I want to be what he's called me to be. I want to wake up out of sleep and slumber and be everything that God has created me to be in these last days. I'm telling you, they that do know their God, they will be strong and they will do exploits. God's calling a generation to walk in the power and the anointing of God. God's calling a generation to awaken at the slightest nudge of the Spirit. Come on, I need somebody to praise him right now. I'm telling you, I feel like God wants something to break. Before we leave this place tonight, God is ready to stir somebody up to give you a renewed sensitivity to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. We are a people of the Spirit. Everything in the kingdom of God is subject to change without notice. I'm just here to tell you that we have process and we have program and we have planning, but we have to be careful as the people of God that our process doesn't overwhelm the nudge of the Spirit, because our process comes down line from a renewed spiritual event instant. I'm telling you, at every season of my life, I've got to get the Holy Ghost all over again. I'm telling you, at every season of your life, you need to get the Holy Ghost all over again. If you're a young person, you need to get the Holy Ghost like you got it the first time. If you're a middle-aged person, you need to get the Holy Ghost like you got it at the beginning. If you're a young married, you need to get the Holy Ghost all over at this season of your life. If you're an elder, I know you feel like you're washed up, but you need a brand new dose of the Holy Ghost. I like the process. I like the planning. I like the fact that we wash our feet and we take off the coat and we prepare for sleep. But I just want to tell you, I'm 40 years old this year and I'm still relatively young, but I'm getting a little bit older. But I'm telling you, there's one thing I want in my life before I cash in my chips, and that is I want to see the power of God. I want to see the anointing of God. I want to see a demonstration of his Spirit when he knocks on the door. I want to wake up at the slightest nod and say, yes, what would you have us do? Yes, what would you have us be, oh God? We need a brand new wave of revival. We need a brand new wave of the miraculous. I thank God that in my life at this point I've seen some miracles. I thank God that I've seen some breakthroughs. I thank God for what's happening in Margaret. But let me tell you something, we're not in Margaret because we thought it was a good idea, Bishop, because we don't do retreads and we don't go back to plowed over fields, and we move where the Spirit is moving. But God gave me a directive to go into that community and teach that Bible study, and now there are doors opening in that community that are blowing my mind. I'm hearing testimonies of miracles and things that God, I'm just telling you, I'm not interested in antiquated processes. I want to know what the Spirit would tell us now, right now, in this day, in this season, in this hour. Come on, this is our hour for a breakthrough. This is our day for anointing. Tell us what you would have us to know, God. Speak to our heart, oh Lord. It's his house, it's his vineyard, it's his stuff. And I'm not condemning her or the church or anybody else. I'm just telling you that we are people of the Spirit, and the Spirit drives everything else that we are doing. We need to have church that's not regimented to the degree that you know what's going to happen at the end of the service. We need to have people that come in with an expectation that by the time it's over, we may be out in the parking lot, but I'm just telling you, it's a day to have an expectation that God can do greater things than we've ever seen before. I'm telling you, in an apostolic church, everything is subject to change without notice. Come on, I'm not disparaging anybody, but this is not a Baptist church. I'm not disparaging anybody, but this is not a Catholic church. This is an apostolic church. We were born in the fire. We were born in the Spirit. I'm telling you, the days of 3,000 soul revivals are not over. But we're going to see exceedingly, abundantly, above everything you can even comprehend. The greatest days of the church are not behind us. They're in front of us. The greatest miracles are not behind us. They're in front of us. We have to be fluid and spontaneous and mindful of the will and mind of God. I'm telling you, we are in the middle of a season where God is beginning to give us a peek into the supernatural. We are in a season of time where God is beginning to give us another season of revival. I believe that we're living in a day when God is bringing to pass the prophecy that Brother Marks prophesied over this church, that the avenger was going to come and avenge this people. But he said, when I come, will I find faith? I'm telling you, hear the parable of the widow woman and the unjust judge. Though he fear not God nor regard man, yes, because of his importunity's sake, he's going to come and avenge. When he comes, let me tell you something. He might come and find process, and we've got process in what we're doing. He may come and find program, and we have program in what we're doing. But the greatest thing that he has to find when he comes back to the apostolic church to avenge you is, he said, I'm asking the question, when I come, will I find faith? Will I find people that are being led of the Spirit? Will I find people that are up at midnight praying? Will I find faith? Will I find anticipation that God is moving? Will I find people? You see, this is the deal. It's easy to pray when the sun rises in the morning and you begin to think about the day. But it's something else altogether. Now, I said sun rises for everybody a little differently. Some people think the sunrise happens at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. That's when the sun's up. It's easy to pray when you're anticipating the day in the morning. But God's will is for us to be sensitive to the Spirit and be ready to move with the Spirit at every point of the day. That's why people who heard from God in Scripture were people who prayed morning, noon, and night. Because if you routinize relationship to the degree that the only time you think about what God wants to do is when you get up in the morning, sometimes he'll visit you at noonday and you won't recognize him quickly enough. Sometimes when he visits you at the midnight hour and he's knocking at the door of your heart, you can't realize it because your mind, it's not a part of the plan. It's not a part of the routine. But God is looking to develop a people that in these last days, they're thinking about him in the morning, they're thinking about him at noonday, and they're thinking about him at nighttime, because God wants us to be instant, in season and out of season. You see, it was Paul who taught the church at Thessalonica to pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Does that mean you're praying all day long? It just means that all day long I am looking for a moment with God where God would speak into my situation and tell me what to do next, because every day I'm encountering people and I have to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, because God is moving in people's hearts. And if I'm so filled up with my day that I cannot be aware of what the Spirit is saying, I'll walk right past somebody that is destined for a breakthrough, but because I'm not sensitive to the Spirit of God, I cannot receive it. You see, sometimes God will bring you a crisis at midnight to teach you how to pray at midnight. God will bring the church a crisis at midnight to break up our routine. Brother Warren, he'll do it. Yeah, he'll wake you up in the midnight hour, knocking on the door of your heart. I've got revelation for you. I've got a place for you to go, a something for you to do. You see, before Paul could teach the church at Thessalonica to pray without ceasing, he was locked up in a jail cell. And at midnight, he needed a breakthrough. At midnight, he needed a word from God. And it's easy to jump over the part where he prayed and say, well, he shouted and the walls fell down. No, before he shouted and the walls fell down, he prayed and sang praises to God. God will send you a storm. God will send you a trial. God will send you a tragedy to get your attention, to get you to pray in a way to where you can receive a word from God at any time. And that's why Paul said, you need to pray without ceasing. You need to be aware of the fact that God wants to speak to you at every hour of the day so that he can move you around in your world and make you effective in the harvest. And so he prayed at midnight and got a breakthrough. God is preparing his church to be locked in to his mind and his system and his work in your life. I'm just telling you, we're in a season right now. It's obvious to me that God is doing some things. I'm seeing God do some things right now that I can identify as the tip of the iceberg. There's something happening under the water of the Spirit. And God is preparing the church. God is preparing us for a revival that we've never seen before. God is preparing the Spanish work. God is preparing Hispanic people to get ready for a harvest. God is preparing our elders. God is preparing our young Mary. I'm telling you, we haven't even seen the beginning. We're just seeing the tremors of what God wants to do in the city of Birmingham. And God is knocking at the door of our hearts. And he's saying, wake up, church. Get ready. Revival's coming. A breakthrough's coming. I'm telling you, there's a Spanish revival coming. I'm telling you, God wants to fill up these balconies. I'm telling you, hurting people are starting to reach out to the church. God's just looking for a people. God, I'm telling you, he's knocking. He's knocking at the door. He's knocking at the door. Come on, the word teaches us. He that asks receives. He that seeks finds. He that knocks, the door shall be opened unto him. But what about the converse? What about when God seeks? What about when God asks? What about when God knocks? It's one thing for me to ask, God, give me provision. Help my family.
Do the miraculous. Heal this church, God. Minister to your people. He said, if you ask, you're going to receive. If you seek, you're going to find. If you knock, the door is going to be open. But all of that is to build my faith. It's to allow me to grow up in my relationship with God until God can come to my life and he can begin to knock. Can I use you? Can I use you? What about when God knocks? What about when he asks? I've got some places I want you to go. I've got some things I want to do with you. It's going to require sacrifice. It's going to require doing things you've never done before. Maybe you're afraid of doing. What about when God knocks? God, this is how we've always done it. This is what is familiar to us and comfortable to us. God, I'm willing to do this work, but I've got to do it within the confines that you've established and the processes that we've always used to get things done. And God's saying, oh, no. I've gotten text messages to go to Roatan. I've gotten calls to go to Brazil. I got a text message from Brother Schreckheist. I haven't talked to Brother Schreckheist in 5 years. I got a text message from Brother Schreckheist yesterday, and he started going down the list of all the things that God is doing on the mainland in Honduras. And I do not, Brother Mike, I don't like to travel. I do not like to get on an airplane. I don't like to get on a roller coaster. I don't want to go overseas. I don't want to go in a boat far out into the ocean. That stuff's foolishness. All that stuff Paul talks about, that's crazy. Shipwreck? No, thank you. Not for fun. Not for recreation, Brother Sam. I don't like to do that stuff. As a matter of fact, whenever the call came to preach the gospel, Brother Chris, you know what I was doing? I was hiding in the bathroom. When God started leading me toward a pulpit, raise your hand if you were one of the other knuckleheads hiding in the bathroom. Yep, Josh. Who else? Who was that? Is that Mario? Mario? Who else? Dawson? It's all good, buddy. But this is my deal, Brother Warren. If I have to get on a boat and go 50 miles out into the ocean because somebody's dying, if I can find a reason that justifies the risk, I won't bat an eye. If, Brother Kadarius, if I could find a reason that justifies the risk, I'll go as high as he wants me to go. I'll go as far out as he wants me to go because he's knocking. Brother Jermaine, it's not fun to leave your babies and your wife at home to go and evangelize, is it? Not really. Not the part where you're leaving the baby and the home and the family. You're making the sacrifice. But God's using you. And people are getting the Holy Ghost. And God is building a network of churches that are having revival. And I'm telling you, all of these churches where he's going to preach, we're getting the same report back. He was scheduled to preach on Sunday, and he got canceled. You know why? Because Brother Wesley Jackson's in revival, and they're having blowout church, and people are getting the Holy Ghost. Those are the kind of places that he's going. God is sending him to those places. And I'm just here. There's got to be a point. There has to be a point where the knock on the door of the heart is bigger than the fear and the hesitation and hedging the bets. And I'm just here to tell you, the Spirit is knocking on the door of this church. And I don't know what the end of it's going to be, but I will promise you this, that God has some things planned for your life that are bigger than anything you could even imagine. But he just needs you to say yes. God, every time
time you knock on the door, I'm going to say yes. Every time that you call, I'm going to answer.
God's taken me some places that I never would have gone had I chosen. Ashley, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing today. she told me when we got married, or maybe before, I did not marry a preacher. I said, no, ma'am, you didn't. God was calling me. And God is calling people in this church to step out of your regimented existence. I'm not making apologies. I'm not qualifying this. I'm telling you that when he knocks on the door of your heart, when he begins to call, the answer is yes. Because all of your dreams and all of your hopes and all, I'm telling you, everything that you are praying for about your family, the things that you're staying up late worrying and stressing about, that you're trying to figure out, everything that you want and everything that you need is wrapped up in following the Holy Ghost and following the will of God and following the calling of God. All of your dreams, your desired haven, you seeing the plan of God unfold in your life is all about answering the call of God when it comes. Praise God. So God is seeking. God is knocking. God is compelling and calling. He's calling his church. We quote Psalms 107, they that go down to the sea in ships do business in great waters. It's about the cadence. It's not about going out all the time and being out all the time. It's not about staying home all the time. It's about the cadence of going out and coming in. It's about the cadence of traveling out to places you've never been before. When I preached out at other churches, I see things I've never seen before. It shifts your perspective. It changes you. It informs you. It tells you things about yourself that you did not know. It also, when the mariner travels out into the deep, he goes out into the unknown. He finds out things that can improve his way of life, can improve his family and his culture. And he comes home and he implements process based on what he saw in the deep. But I'm just telling you, if you cut off the journey into the unknown, you will cease to change. You will cease to grow. You will cease to become. A church cannot have revival if a church stays stagnant in its current existence and place and process. And so God is sending people out, and he's sending us out, and he's calling people out. Out of the nest. How many of you currently in this season of your life, you're feeling what I'm talking about? You're feeling this. How many of you feel stuck where you are right now? You feel stuck. Be honest, you feel stagnant. If you feel stagnant right now, it's time to get out. If you right now, you are not living at the level of actualization that you feel compelled to live at, God is calling you out. He's calling you out of the box. He says, Abraham, come out of your box. Come out of your process. Your process will kill you. Your routine will kill you. Try regimenting a romance life. You have to have regiment, but it can't just be regiment. If you lose the spontaneity, it's over. God's calling you out. Praise God. Step out of your box. Sister Kara, I love that Bible study you're teaching. Praise God. That's uncomfortable, isn't it? But you're doing a good work. Praise God's going to honor it. Praise God. Praise God. It's time to do something you've never done before. Go somewhere in God you've never gone before. Pray at midnight. Some of the people I admire the most, that church over in Fort Myers, Florida, Brother Randy Williams, that man is, he's just doing, they do all kind of crazy stuff. I think once a month, they just have prayer at midnight. Saturday night before church. They all come to the house of God and have midnight prayer. Well, that's not logical. Well, they're seeing stuff they've never seen before. I love people who think outside the box. It inspires me. What I'm saying is that's what God's calling us to do. He's calling us to think outside the box. Come on, look somebody next to you. Tell them, loosen up. Look somebody else. Tell them, chill out, man. This is a fun ride. This is living for God. This is the best life. I'm just telling you, there are things God's asking of me I do not want to do. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. But I know He's in it. And I know that God is going to take it, whatever it is, Brother Warren, and He's going to bless it, and He's going to break it, and He's going to multiply it, and He's going to cause there to be increase. And I'm just telling you, I can't do this on my own. I don't know the way that I'm supposed to go. I don't have a path laid out. I don't have a 20-year plan. I'm riding this wave with God. And where God takes me, I want to go there because I've seen His work in my life already, and I'm believing for greater things than what I've seen up to this point. I'm just telling you, God is working in your life, and God is calling you outside of the box. Will you say yes? Let's stand. Brother Sam, come. I'm finished. I didn't think I'd get very far in my notes. Praise God. Praise God. God is calling. God is calling people into the unknown. God is knocking at the door of your heart tonight. And He's telling you, stop trying to make sense of it. Stop trying to routinize it. Stop trying to program it. Just get up and ride this ride with me. If the Holy Ghost is talking to you tonight, I want you to step out of your pew. I want you to make your way down to the front. And I want us, let's do some business with God tonight. Let's do some business in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, get as close as you can tonight. Come on, get all the way down here to the front. Let's do some business in the Holy Ghost tonight. Come on, the Spirit is beckoning, it's calling, it's wooing, it's compelling. Sotoroko shata hasaraba karashana rabahasa yeraba shonorobokiata. Come on, that's it. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Yaraba shonoloko sotobohoya yaranasa rakesheasa handosa ye mahara tu sondolokosa. God, take the limits off tonight. Take the limits off, God. Take the limits, God. Take the scales off of the eyes, oh God. Hallelujah. Fill us with faith, oh God. Fill us with courage, oh God. Fill us with belief, oh Lord. Hallelujah.
Lord of the brave.
press it, press it right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Press it, press it. The Spirit is knocking. The Holy Ghost is knocking.